T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning.
They read poetry at a basketball game.
With Dusty Hera.
You're just one thing, dude. You have to use so many cuss words.
And Cam Cleland.
Nunchuck skills, bow hunting skills, computer hacking skills. Girls only want boyfriends who have great skills.
Dusty and Cam in the morning.
First you gotta do the truffle shuffle. Come on! Do it!
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, hour number two, Dusty and Cam in the morning. Thank you for being a part of our morning, letting us be a part of yours. New text line in effect as of this morning, 503-250-1080. You can text it. You can call it. You can carry your pigeon it, if that's your thing. 503-250-1080. All right, Major League Baseball, they're in quite the conundrum here, as the owners last week proposed in a 67-page document what their outline for owners, which would include another salary pay cut for every player, but really a big salary cut to the highest paid earners in Major League Baseball on top of the 50% pay cut the players have already agreed to. And it did not go over well with the players. The players have responded, Mr. Cleland. They have responded by sending the owner's way a proposal with a 114-game schedule. Season would start June 30, and 29 days from now. So they'd just be like, I mean, that would essentially mean they'd get right back to business if they have a three-week, as Larry Scott would call it, glide path up into playing again. That would mean they got to get started this weekend to get to June 30th as a start time. And the season would end on October 31st, which is normal. I mean, that's when the World Series usually ends, is right around Halloween. And then a couple other elements of it is you could opt out. Any player could opt out of not playing if they just didn't want to play for whatever reason. But it would be paid if you or a family member is deemed high risk to get COVID-19. You would have deferred pay to players if there was no postseason, and it would be a $100 million pool of money. And those are kind of that's the meat and potatoes of the whole proposal that was sent. And they're basically saying your sliding scale for salary is a non-starter. We want to get paid our normal wages for every game we play, and you wanted 82, we want 114. This is not going over well. Not many people think that this is going to get accepted.
Well, in negotiations, you go from one extreme to the next. This ends, the proposal of 114 games ends October 31st. That means that the month of October is still regular season games. I'm saying that with a question mark. The proposal means that this would go into November for postseason. Gosh. I mean, I guess just that means that that brings cold weather baseball in, or maybe it doesn't, depending on who's in.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know at this point. It seems every sports take and every thought process seems so disjointed right now with what's going on. And the more we try to talk about it and try to figure this out, especially with Major League Baseball, everything's going to feel like it might pause even more now.
And I heard you know, a couple of people speculating on this that if you want to get these in, you and have the postseason end on October 31st, which would be a regular finish to the season, you that would mean baseball would have, and the players are open to more doubleheaders. And, you know, and that would be great. You know, fewer breaks in between games. You'd have doubleheaders going on. And, you know, the players, too, and you said in a negotiation. So if 82 games is what the owners are proposing, 114 is what the players are proposing, which is, isn't that a weird number, 114? Why? Why 114?
Magic.
Well, I think that the reason why you go to 114 is because if you meet in the middle, that's around 100 games. And you could have a 100-game season.
Yeah. But 100 games, there is that significant number of 100 games still being within their agreement. There's television revenue that's all built around that number. That still has to be split. So there must be something that is very significant at that 100 mark.
I also think that the players, they within their proposal, outside of the meat and potatoes of it, I thought they had some good ideas. Expanded playoffs for 2 years. Major League Baseball's proposal is 1 year of a postseason that goes from 10 to 14 teams. They're saying, do it for two, this year and next year. You want to make more money? You guys are crying poverty right now? Add 2 years of more postseason baseball, and you guys can make some money up. A salary advance of $100 million to split among players during the so-called, quote, spring training 2.0 that leads up to the regular season. I think that will get balked at and kind of thrown to the wayside. But additional commitment of players wearing microphones on the field and other broadcast enhancements. I absolutely I loved it during spring training. I love it when we see it in golf with the match and things like that. Mm-hmm. Give me more mic'd up players. I think it's fantastic. And then an offer to hold events such as an off-season all-star game or home run derby to generate additional revenue.
Let's unpack. Why do you think, what is the allure of the mic'd up? So I kind of understand it, but every time this does happen, every time that we get a chance to hear the players, like remember when it was Anthony, remember when Rizzo was during spring training, we heard him talk during his at-bat?
Yeah.
And he talked it out. And is it because you want to know what's inside the brains, no matter how somebody's competing, at what they're thinking of? It's kind of like you go back to, not Major League, but Bull Durham, when you're listening to Kevin Costner go, bring it, meat. Bring it, fastball, fastball, fastball. And he's kind of talking to himself. Is that the allure that we're missing? Does it seem like it's more of, you want mic'd up? Because why was golf so great? I know we were starving, but we got to hear Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson and Peyton Manning and Tom Brady all have those inner conversations. We kind of know what they're thinking, but does it bring validity, or does it get them more closer to us as humans? It's not like we're watching some robot out there. He's like, oh, these guys are real.
Well, I think every fan has had that moment where the gloves go in front of the mouth and you go, what are they saying? You know, it would be a peek behind the curtain or a catcher behind the plate when his guy's on.
But isn't it the allure?
With that banter back and forth. Like you want to hear that because you've always wondered what it is. And there is an allure to it. And I think a lot of people, like Rizzo with his at-bat, I don't want interviews because that's what they're doing during spring training is interviews during games. I don't think that's not a reasonable thing.
That doesn't interest me.
But yeah, to hear that dialogue or like after a play, like it doesn't even have to be live all the time. Like going back to after a play, you know, on the replay, instead of hearing the commentary on the replay, you get to hear how the players were interacting with each other during that play.
You know, the mystery of having that unknown is what I've always loved. Of kind of like, what are those guys saying after that? That kind of still gives you that. Or you could start to talk about, what do you think he said? What do you think he said? But if you get a chance to hear it, why do you think that is so amazingly, and why can't that be the biggest change? Is it just the human factor?
Is it
the fact that we get them to be more vulnerable with what they're thinking and or saying? Because do you want to hear what the first baseman is saying? Talking smack to the guys he's leading off? He's like, your shoe's untied. Bam. Gotcha. No, I mean, is that going to make baseball that much better?
Yes.
Or is it going to make NFL that much better?
It'll make it entertaining as they're walking back to the dugout knowing what they're saying. You know, like when the guy strikes out and you see that hitter turn over his shoulder and say something? Is he talking to the ump? Is he talking to the catcher? You know, after Aaron Judge takes 1 yard and he is doing his little jaunt and he turns back to the catcher, what did he say to the catcher? I love those things. And I think the peek behind the curtain would be fun.
Would it?
And they would be protected. And MLB would protect guys. So you're not going to be hearing vulgar stuff, but it would be interesting to kind of hear some of that, I guess, playful banter that's happening in games.
Well, you heard Bryce Harper say is like, look, man, I ain't stopping spitting. You know, he was talking about some of the COVID-19 rules that they were going to do, and a lot of baseball players are saying, I don't think major. I think that true separation or having those non-microphones around is kind of what keeps it. And maybe it's really strategic or something, but from sitting there, if I knew that a camera was always on or that microphones was always on or anything, I don't know if I would. I don't know if I would be real. I don't think I would be. I'd be very calculated. Things would be very uncomfortable. There wouldn't be a true of this is how it really is, because you get afraid of the backlash. You get afraid of, and I can imagine really the pressure, the anxiety of it, of what they said, or you heard something wrong. And I don't think Major League Baseball can stop it, or any sport can stop really what the words are like. You know, it's just like Justin Thomas when he was making fun of Chuck, stuff like that. Okay, that's funny in the moment. But there'd be, it's like, I can't believe they said that. And so that's what I would think about.
Do you believe, though, that players already operate under that idea that at all times somebody is listening?
I don't think so. I don't think so at all.
All right. Well, let's talk about that. 503-250-1080 is the fan text line. Major League, and hear what Jeff Passan has to say from ESPN on how the owners will address the MLBPA's newest recommendations for how to move forward with a Major League Baseball season. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. All right, 718, Dusty here, Cam Cleland with you. We're talking Major League Baseball's Players Association countering their league's proposal. 114 games, deferred pay if there's no postseason, opt-outs for all players, only paid for those that are deemed at high risk. Mic'd up players on the field is one of the things that players are saying, hey, we'd be open to if it generates more revenue to pay our salaries. And, you know, I asked the question, don't players already operate under the idea that at all times people are listening? And you don't seem to think so in where Major League Baseball is at and the professional athlete is at.
No, because they're human. And nobody's afraid of, I would say a lot of people are afraid of making a mistake and saying something and going, oh gosh, and always having to be on. Not everybody can be perfectly on at all times, and sometimes you might slip it up, and sometimes you might say something, or everything you do say or not, it's gonna upset somebody, especially today. It's just there's gonna be some, and I don't know if some of the guys are ready and the athletes are ready for that, or really can understand how important they are. And sometimes when you watch, it's like kind of like you watch sports, you just want to appreciate them in the game. Is that if you just turn off the sound and you just watch it and appreciate that, is that I know mic'd up is interesting and it's fun, but I think it's more of a one-off. I think it's kind of like that new shiny toy. It's like a fidget spinner. It's cool at the start. You do that, and then after that, you're like, all right, okay, I want to go back to just regular. That's the side of it, is that the sport is the entertainment side, the hearing the crowd, hearing the sound, the crack of the bat, the back and forth is really, or just in all facets. I mean, I know it was really, really cool when you got to hear those big giant, you know, the big giant satellites that the guys carried around on the sideline?
Mm-hmm.
Not satellites, I know, but their sound, they capture the sound for NFL films. And those things used to stand right beside us during the games, and we were right there, and then we'd have the boom mic. And I had a player, his name was Tyoka Jackson. He's still a friend of mine. He always went out and found the boom mic. Like, he loved the boom. If the boom mic was around, you all of a sudden Tyoka was right there with his helmet off, and he just loved the camera. And he was the guy that all the NFL films guys would always stick the camera in front and stick the boom mic because he couldn't stop himself. Those are the ones that everyone wanted to hear from or enjoyed it because they love to embrace it. Mm-hmm. Not everybody's comfortable in that. Remember when Sam Darnold said, I saw ghost? Was that good or bad for Sam Darnold?
It was horrible.
Horrible for Sam Darnold. Made him look like a clown. Mm-hmm. Made him look like, oh, he's not prepared. He's insecure. He's nervous. He's a rookie. He's probably going back. He's like, I am seeing ghosts. I'm vulnerable. Do you want everybody to be vulnerable that way?
But I think it is for fans. Yeah, because it is something that you can kind of, it peels back the curtain of, all right, he's actually feeling the way that he looks on the field, which everybody knew he was rattled
so
in that moment.
So it's validation that they're human? And that's why I'm trying to understand why that connection is there.
It is. I mean, I don't think they're looking for it as validation, but you're sitting there, it's validation for the fan to sit there and be like, yep, that's what he's thinking. Or when you're dead wrong, and it's like, that's not the case whatsoever. Also, remember the criticism of Darnold was after that by some of the former players was, you always got to know that somebody's listening. And how many times have we seen, like, you know, Drew Brees, when he's warming up, he'll give the warning, hey, I'm mic'd up. I'm mic'd up today. Just so you know, I'm mic'd up today. We see that during stretching and stuff. Like, there's going to be that element of it. I think over the last, like, 10 years, players have been more cognizant of the fact that if you say something that's controversial when you're on the field or something that may not go over well, I think that is in the back of players' minds or more towards the front of players' minds now that, you know, you're changing the way that you're talking during a game because of the fact that there's mics everywhere.
Yeah, most definitely I think everybody would get to the point where they'd be very careful and it'd be a very quiet sport. It'd be very, and it's already kind of calculated, but it would calm down. There'd be a few that run, and there's a few crazies. There's a few that don't care mm-hmm. out there, and they'll be the ones that the cameras try to find. And it's like, oh, give me more of this person. But you'll get to the point where there won't be a lot of discussion because there'll be, it's like, yeah, they can hear everything. They can do that. And that's, it'll probably be more interesting. Mm-hmm. I guess.
I think it will be because you're not going to just, and I think what it will be also is maybe it's not going to be, it'll open the curtain and maybe the players want it because they're like, it's not going to be as salacious as you guys think. You know, it's not like it's going to be something that you're going to want to hear.
Yeah, they've already kind of given you that peek, and that's what NFL Hard Knocks gives you. That to me makes it what's so great mm-hmm. is that it gives you that taste. And then they take it away, and then they give you the regular season. They bring it back for you just kind of a little bit. If you had that week in and week out, would it become just noise? Would it become white noise after a while, and you just be desensitized to what the NFL and everybody acts
like? It might eventually, but at the same time, I think if there's a thirst for it from a business perspective, they're like, we have to try to capitalize on this. If it brings any more people in, if it brings any more people into the fold or keeps viewers around longer, they have to try it.
Remember when we used to watch games and you never knew what the score was because it wasn't on the screen all the time, or when we didn't have a first down line and those things popped up and they were considered gimmicky at the beginning? But now they're just a commonplace during every broadcast that we watch. Is you have the first down line during a football game. You, no matter what sport you're watching, you always know what the score is, and no longer is, you know, grandma at home having to keep score in her scorebook to know what the count is. Those are all things that we thought at one point were just going to, you know, maybe go away and people weren't going to like them. They're just part of our common viewing experience now, just as, you know, sideline interviews with coaches at halftime. You may think they're pointless, but they have a value to that broadcast that is still to this day happening, and they're not going to go away. And I think it may just become one of those if done properly and well.
You know, something that was said by Michael Jordan during The Last Dance was, I go onto the court and I go to a place, and he mentioned about how it was his, not like his church, but it was his escape from everybody. It was where I could perform. It was my reality. And it wasn't like, yes, you could hide. I'd have security around me. There's people everywhere. But when I was on the court, I was in my element. There might be, just from thinking outside the box here, there might be a faction of athletes that go, man, I don't want my, that one place where I want to perform to then have the all-seeing eye, which is already there anyway, but to be, it's kind of like, don't invade that. I'll give you more. I give you social media. I'll give you interviews. I'll give you all those things. But if we mic up everything and give you every little inside look, just be careful what you wish for and what you see. And I agree with you, Buck. I think you got to try it, and maybe you do that. Will it work? Probably for a short amount of time. I don't know how much more interesting it makes the sport.
Well, I think what you'll end up finding out, too, is like they'll find out the sweet spot for it, when to use it, how much to use it. And my hope would be that, or I would expect that we'd get a lot of it early on and some of it that, frankly, is a little bit boring or isn't that important or isn't.
Who needs it the most? Which sport needs it the most?
Ooh.
Which sport needs mic'd up players?
Yeah, which sport needs it the most?
Baseball. Baseball. Because if you use it properly, it can fill that void that there is for a lot of people in baseball to make it more entertaining during the downtimes of the game.
And with no interviews, are you just opening up a mic and listening to the guys in the clubhouse? Because you said the interviews aren't very interesting, and I agree with you. I don't know if I want Joe Buck asking the center fielder questions, going to George Springer and be like, "Hey, George, what you thinking out there right now?" Well, I'm thinking about moving the shift over here.
Yeah.
I mean, is that interesting?
Well, it can be interesting during spring training, but I think you can just highlight replays with it. Okay. Or sometimes you can cut live, and you can just cut live and be ready for whatever you're going to get. Because a lot of people are going to be just sitting there like,
"This guy's an idiot. You're going to throw a curveball here? Well, this guy's an idiot." Yeah. Of course I'm going to throw a curveball right now.
Yeah. I think that's what you can do. Yeah. You know, and just mic up a catcher or an umpire and let's see what happens there.
Starts talking about Victoria's Secret catalog, making sure he can throw the ball back to the pitcher.
Old Rube behind the plate.
I don't know.
503-250-1080. That is the new number for the Fan text line and how you can call it. Just save it in your phone as the Fan. 503-250-1080. 55305 no longer works, folks. Today is the day. It's only 503-250-1080. Reactions across the local sports landscape of what is going on throughout the United States this past weekend. What Mario Cristobal, Jonathan Smith, and the Portland Trailblazers had to say about the protests and violence that has been sparked across our country after the passing of George Floyd. Here's Buck with SportsCenter. Get up, get on up, stay on the scene, get on up like a sex machine. Well, last week in Minnesota, George Floyd was killed by a police officer in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and protests have been going on across our country. And it has been something that it has been widely covered across the country, and it's not just in Minneapolis. They sprouted up all across in every city, major city across the country, and a lot of small cities as well. And out of those protests, a lot of violence has occurred as well. And people are mad. People are sad. People are disappointed. And all of those feelings and the way that people cope are going to be something that, you know, is to each individual. And we were talking about this earlier at the beginning of the show, and I thought you made a very good point, and it was a poignant one on kind of how we all are kind of trying to grow and approach this thing moving forward.
I started off today really not knowing what to say. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I can't put to string the best words together because there are a lot of things that I can speak to and there's a lot of things I can't. So that's probably where I start intelligently, and not every day I operate intelligently, because that's just, that's about as much, as I can get to, because there, when you stammer for words or you try to figure out what will fix something, I don't have those answers. All I know is that there is, and I can reiterate it again as best I can, pain and fear, anxiety, stress, all those things are part of what a lot of people are feeling, and anger and pain. And the only thing, if someone that deals with that and what can you do, and what can you fix, and how can you help, and what can you do? You could just do one thing, and that's the only thing that I'm trying to figure out is love more. And if it's somebody next to you, or if it's trying to get that your voice heard, I get it. I understand. And I think we all can. I can't put myself in those shoes. It all that empathy and understanding those things, and I get that. But we need to love more, because right now there's a lot of hurt, there's a lot of anger, there's a lot of pain going on. And the only thing that can fix it is that.
And that's an amazing thing that, you know, and when you said that, it was like, that's the conversation that we had with our kids last night is when trying to articulate how, you know, America got to this point, it's an impossible thing to describe to a six-year-old that doesn't understand it like my daughter is, or really to anybody. It's hard as adults to wrap our heads around how we got to this point, you know, and why it is still this way. And that's where you talk about, you know, empathy and feeling sympathy and trying to understand and growing. We got the question at the beginning of the show of, you know, what are sports, you know, what's their role in all of this? And we know that sports have a huge influence over people, whether it's on the field or off the field. And I think that it, when you're kind of looking at the ways that sports can use to grow, you know, Mario Cristobal had a tweet that said, I learned a lot from listening to our leadership council today. And then it kind of had a, you know, leadership council. I mean, maybe you can fill in people in. What is the leadership councils on sports? When I think some people listen to that or read that from Mario Cristobal. What is he talking about there?
I think what he's trying to just say is that there are certain players that represent everybody, even within the own team. And not like they've been elected, but maybe the team feels that they'll represent their group or their position or their year. Could be freshmen, it could be sophomores, juniors, whatever their group is. It kind of feels like this. Most teams have leadership councils that they feel that, hey, these guys represent us. It's almost a small little group within that is their voice and gives everybody an opportunity to talk to them, and they discuss it.
And I think that it's a great thing that sports can do in this is that high schools have leadership councils, colleges do, and, you know, Cristobal and the Ducks, they said, all right, we're going to go to the leadership council and we're going to have an open conversation on this. So Cristobal's tweet said, I learned a lot from our leadership council today. And then he had this accompanying, notes from his notes app. It says, we all use our platforms in a different way. I'll use mine to influence positive change. Everyone deserves the right to feel safe and to be treated equally. It's everyone's responsibility, regardless of race, color, or ethnicity, to eliminate mistreatment, racial injustice, and bigotry and replace it with unity, compassion, and love. Posting on social media isn't enough. We must carry out these principles and values into our daily lives. We're responsible for using our voices for change. We are responsible for protecting those that don't feel safe and are afraid to share those their perspective. We are responsible for creating a new normal.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very well done by Coach Cristobal and kind of the leadership council out there. And, you know, we got a text earlier at 503-250-1080 that was, you know, what should the role of athletes be? And what I find amazing is that, you know, if an athlete does share their perspective on it and shares their experiences, there's some people that say, well, that's not enough, right? Who are we to say, you know, what is enough for that individual? And I think that is something that we look at here is, you know, there's some athletes that just aren't going to be comfortable with saying anything right now, but we all know that all of us are having a feeling on this. Just because you don't want to put it out publicly, they should have the right to keep it private.
Some are scared to say anything because they don't want to upset or they don't want to be told that there's something it's a scary thing to put yourself out there. I mean, but I think everybody wants to be heard. There's a voice that you want to be listened to. It's always important. Anybody that's married or with their wife, he just says, you know, just sit and listen for a minute. I don't need you to fix this. Just listen to it. But there needs to be change. Certainly needs to be change right now because we're hurting. There's so much pain and there's so much anger and the system is broken. Yeah. And there has to be change.
And I think one thing that we're seeing is kind of like there is a message of love. I thought Jonathan Smith had posted a thought on it. Says, as a white man, I'll never completely understand the fear and daily experiences that people of color face regularly. The tragedies of the last few weeks have me left hurt, angry, confused, tough to completely describe. What I do know is that over my 20 plus years in football, I've worked alongside and coached unbelievable men of color, and my heart hurts for them. Change needs to happen. I want to add my voice to so many others that these acts and all acts of racism need to end. I mean, from the two leaders of the football programs in the state of Oregon to the Portland Trailblazers themselves having a statement and a call to action to people, I think it is great. I think it is needed. And I think that voice of, you know, a unifying rally towards people, I don't think we've seen in this magnitude because, shoot, we just watched The Last Dance where Michael Jordan talked about the criticisms he's faced over his career for not taking stands on social matters. And Michael Jordan came out. Michael Jordan. He made a statement on what is happening. And, you know, it's something that over his career he hasn't done. But we're seeing this is the point where it's reaching everybody. And that is what it's going to take is everybody has got to adjust and kind of take inventory of how they're feeling and how everybody is feeling in this. And as you put it, put a little bit more love out there, you know, and in whatever empathy or sympathy you can feel, you know, it is the time where we can make a change, a long lasting change on our country and how we're viewed and how we treat our people, our countrymen, our neighbors, you know? Mm-hmm. But Jordan's statement said, I'm deeply sad and truly pained and plain angry. I stand with those who are calling out the ingrained racism and violence toward the people of color in our country. And we've had enough. I don't have the answers, but our collective voices show strength and the inability to be divided by others. We must listen to each other, show compassion and empathy, and never turn our backs on senseless brutality. We need to continue peaceful expressions against injustice and demand accountability. Our unified voice needs to put pressure on our leaders to change our laws, or else we need to use our vote to create systemic change. Every one of us needs to be a part of the solution, and we must work together to ensure justice for all. And that is that's coming from a guy who's he really hasn't made a statement on that level on social matters ever in Michael Jordan. And he's doing it right now.
There's a lot of people that are speaking out. There's a lot. It's Monday. We're reacting to it. Everybody has those very, very strong feelings. Some just don't know how to speak to it perfectly. And maybe that is why we're humans. And whatever happens moving forward, we need to fix what's going on. And you got to get those, whatever way you can get your emotions under, I don't want to say under control. It's very scary right now. There's some scary situations going on across this country. Extremely intense, full of anger, full of frustration, full of maddening feelings. And those are, The hardest thing is trying to figure out what to do, because who here has the answer sitting in this room or anything? I don't. Who here has it? It's scary.
No, and there is no one simple answer, because it is something that is going to have to be a collective, and the change has got to start with each individual.
You gotta just appreciate those people next to you. You gotta appreciate the people around you, and know that there's more to them.
503-250-1080. That is the fan text line. This is Dusty and Cam.
It's everyone's favorite day.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, "Sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays"?
What do you have to complain about?
Monday. No, man. No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying so, my God, man.
A Case of the Mondays, part of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On 1080 The Fan.
503-250-1080. It's Monday, Case of the Mondays. Let them rip on the fan text line. 503-250-1080. 55305. Gone. See ya. 503-250-1080. This text coming in super nice last week. Rain all weekend. Nice Monday. Nice one. Hey, rain not expected until next weekend. We're not gonna get a rain until the weekend. It's supposed to be very nice. this weekend here. And
says the meteorologists of the smart application that's on my phone.
No, I watched
24 hours. That could change.
I watched the news.
No, I go one day at a time, man. There's no way I can look that far forward.
I do.
No way.
Yeah, dude.
It's the Northwest.
How do you plan your golf?
You can't. You just go by, you fly by the seat of your pants.
Oh, all right. This case of the Monday is coming in at 503-250-1080. First day back to work in 6 weeks after being out on paternity leave. Dang. 6 weeks on paternity leave, huh? And you're going back for the first time.
Got to keep that kid in shape.
Yeah. That's a nice chunk of paternity leave, though. 6 weeks?
Yeah, I thought that's...
Should be normal, but it's not as common as you'd think it'd be. No. Yeah,
I don't know what employers give nowadays to people that need to take care of their children.
The United States seems to be behind on the paternity leave that is granted. I wonder if that's going to change after, you know, the stay-at-home orders and shelter-in-place stuff and people working from home more. If, like, we know that our office environment is likely going to change for several businesses on the ability to work either all at home or portions of the week at home. I wonder if it's going to be, you know, things like paternity leave as well are not going to be seen as that huge of a deal, or maternity leave is that huge of a deal for, you know, workers, because you can still be efficient and effective working from home. Yeah.
I know we're adapting, looking at different ways to probably still do your job and do it successfully, but maybe do it more at home, do it more virtually, getting more work done, coming to an office, or maybe a little bit more of those 4-day work weeks or whatever the versatility. You got to become more, if you're not willing to be more versatile, then you're going to be stuck in the mud probably.
I like how you're planting the seed there for our bosses that are listening, a 4-day work week, you know?
Not going to work great for on-air talent, but for on the outside, I can see it.
I mean,
I advocate for sure. You do, yeah, but
we can do it
Monday through Friday. You got to react on Monday. You can't have a case of the Mondays if you're not working. And Fridays, you're working for the weekend and doing everything you can. So what happens? Did we take Wednesday off?
No, Thursday we're working for the weekend, dude.
Wednesday off would be weird.
Would it
two
be?
Days on, 1 day off, 2 days on, 2 days off.
Firefighters.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that, because then you're
midweek
on a
week break.
Yeah, because you mentioned firefighters, like firefighters or nurses, mm-hmm. You know, they'll always be like, hey, you want to go out and grab a drink? You're like, dude, it's
Wednesday
night.
The thing that blew my mind, we have a family friend who's a fire chief, and he was like, yeah, I could tell you what my days off are going to be like 10 years from now.
Yeah.
Because it's just it's like a 3-day rotation. And he goes, I mean, obviously I could request a specific thing off, but like I could tell you what my, like whether I'll be working or not on like December 12th, 2041, because he could just roll the calendar that way.
Sorry, not going to be able to go.
Oh. I mean, you could plan any concert, sporting event that far in the future. It'd be pretty good.
Yeah, but it'll also be a bummer if
other people can't
know
go.
That it's like one day that you can't go, you know, and you're looking 2041. You're
off.
Like,
you asked for it off. Mm-hmm.
You're like, yeah, can't go to the Masters. Got to work that day, 2041.
But at least you'll know which year you can.
You can make an exception for the Masters.
You probably should. You maybe might be able to find somebody between now and 2041 to
get
cover your shift.
You get a sub for that.
Got it 3 years in advance. Gonna have to get that day off. I'll switch you on the shift, bro. You guys got any case of the Mondays?
No. No, I don't.
Dude.
Oh, you know what? Yes,
seems
I do.
Super insignificant right now to have a case
sure
of the
does.
Mondays.
It sure does. But these are the little things in life. Case of the Mondays
thing,
is the little things.
But playing golf on Saturday, the tee box that we were teeing off from was a little bit to the left and behind the previous green. And the group behind us was playing a little tight, and they sent a ball that almost brained me right by our cart.
They give you shout out?
No, because they didn't see us behind the hill that was next to the green.
Well,
so,
what did the guy say though when he rolled up?
Since it almost hit me and I heard it go by my ear, I walked out there and screamed at him, and then I went
did
back.
Did you
to
scream
the
at him, Buck?
Yeah,
why
did
you scream at him?
Because they almost hit me and they didn't say anything about it.
But then you just said they couldn't see you.
They saw that we were right on the hole in front of them. They were waiting for us on the fairway. They knew we were there. I don't think he knew that we where exactly we were standing, but you still got to yell four when you spray a ball like that. And they didn't do that.
Oh.
And they were only that close behind us because they weren't playing by the cart path only rules. So they were tailing us tight the entire round because we were going cart path only like we were told, and they were going wherever they wanted.
Wow.
Not
a lot of stuff
followers.
Going on.
Yeah.
Rye rage there.
I was not happy.
You yelled at him.
Rye rage bay from Rye rage from the bay, huh?
Rye rage from the bay.
Jeez. Man. I got no case of Mondays. We got nothing. I mean,
my back hurts.
Why?
I lifted a refrigerator out of the back of the truck.
Oh,
by yourself?
I did.
A full fridge?
No. No, see, so I got an inclination.
Strongman competition?
No, I got an inclination this week. Because we're eating at home a lot, and I have to buy, because I have kids, and they eat me out of house, literally, eat a house and home, so we needed more space. So we have, like, the old garage refrigerator, you know,
right,
that you have, the old tiny small one that you get at, you just pick that, and then you have your inside one. So I was just perusing Craigslist, and I went, you know what would be great? I want to look for a classic, like a glass door commercial fridge that someone's getting ready, like an old one that you could put all your beverages in, that it's open. And you know mm-hmm. what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Like the Coke, the one.
Like they're made by a store.
Yeah. And they're made by True, and True makes awesome commercial stuff. So I was like, you know, I'm going to peruse. Found one on Craigslist. Guy was like, yeah, got it right here. Went and picked it up. Put it in. It's like, oh, I'm just going to pick this right out of the back of the truck. No problem. Going to set it down. That thing weighs about 175 pounds, probably.
Oh, no.
Man's 44 years old. No problems.
Now you do got problems now.
But boy, did I. No, I battled through.
Isn't that what your
changes,
kids are for? Is that the boys are for?
That's what he was there for, but he just wasn't doing it the right way. It's like, will you just move? Let me just get this down. Yeah, it's dumb. It's a dumb choice. Should have made the kids a little bit more of a focus there. Mm. But got it up. Drinks look displayed fantastically. I'm excited. I'm going to put some Coke stickers on there. I'm pumped. Never been more pumped for a glass door refrigerator, former commercial refrigerator.
Boy, when you get older, it truly is the little things in life.
I mean, it's just, if you would have seen what I felt it so happy. It's just, it made the weekend.
503-250-1080. That is the new fan text line. I would say new and improved, but nothing has been improved. It literally is the exact same thing, just a brand new number. 503-250-1080, except for it is improved. You can call it and text it. All right, coming up next, George Kittle's agent says they want to reset the bar. Dustin Cam on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.